You are looking live. Welcome to another live look in here on ClevelandBrowns.com and the Browns mobile app as the Browns are set here for day 10 of training camp. And finally, it's preseason game week. They'll take on the Washington Redskins in the preseason opener in just 3 days, this Thursday at First Energy Stadium. So certainly good to have everybody with us here on this live look in. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm on a special day out of Browns camp. It is Military Appreciation Day, as you'll see servicemen and women taking in the Browns practice today. Certainly good to see this team try to give back to those who give so much for our country. Here we are, though, Matt. It's day 10 of camp. We're starting to get into the middle point of camp, but the preseason on the horizon. We got some actual NFL football last night, briefly, with Theodore Bridgewater out there with the Minnesota Vikings. But what is going through a player's mind at this point, camp, day 10?
At this point right now, you still want to go out and be efficient at practice. You want to execute your job, especially coming out of the orange and brown scrimmage down there in Columbus. But now your mind shifts to getting your body ready for that opportunity to showcase your true ability in a game setting at First Energy in those brand new uniforms, which are going to be very cool. What color combination they're going to wear, that I don't know. But you're shifting your mind to the game. In some cases, some of the guys might be practicing a little safe because they want to be healthy in that ability to showcase their, you know, what they do best and play this, to make this roster. You know, come Thursday night, they're going to have an opportunity with bullets flying against someone else in a different uniform.
And we'll update you with a little bit of news right out of the gate. Wide receiver Rodney Smith has been cut by the Cleveland Browns. He's been waived. They've signed linebacker Moses Fokou, who's a 7-year veteran in the league, guy you spent a little bit of time with in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I did. You know, after I was released by the San Diego Chargers, I went to camp when Stuart Bradley went down in Philadelphia. Ended up, you know, hurting my hamstring, but he was actually drafted that year by the Philadelphia Eagles. Plays well. He's a tall, physical, rangy guy. Looks a heck of a lot like Carlos Dansby from a frame standpoint. So very athletic. We're going to be very productive. I would think he'd be an inside guy, like a weak inside guy. So that means in that rotation of Robertson, Kirksey, Carter, Fokou now. But maybe get the nod ahead of Ballard.
Very interesting move there. 7-year veteran, and perhaps he's competing with Tank Carter. I think Hayes Ballard probably going to end up on the practice squad if he makes this football team. An interesting move inside linebacker. And by the way, the first official unofficial depth chart was released by the Cleveland Browns. Speaking of that inside linebacker spot, Christian Kirksey was listed as a starter ahead of Craig Robertson next to Carlos Dansby.
Means very little. And
yes.
I think in some cases, maybe in preparation for this football game, they're going to go a little more of that sub package. There's something that they want to work on in this game. As Mike Pettine said on our show, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven, of course, by Liberty Ford, he said, you know, 13 to 15 guys could actually be listed as starters from a week-to-week standpoint. And maybe the base defense is not something they're focused on, where Craig Robertson most likely would get the nod on those running downs. But Christian Kirksey, that they're going to come out with the ability to play that spread offense, you know, with Jay Gruden and RG3 or, you know, Colt McCoy or Kirk Cousins. So not a whole lot of weight into this, and it wouldn't surprise me that if the following week against the Buffalo Bills, that if Craig Robertson got the start and was listed on that depth chart as a starter.
Wouldn't surprise me either. And in talking to both of those guys, it seems to be going to be kind of package focused on who's out there, both very productive for this team at the linebacker position. We welcome your tweets. We'll answer your questions throughout this live looking at Browns camp here in Berea, day number 10. All you have to do is tweet the Browns using the hashtag BrownsCamp15. We'll get your questions, get those answered for you live on air here. Let's go back to Friday, though. Very special night. I'm sure it was special for you as
it
well.
Was.
At the Shoe, the orange and brown scrimmage. First of all, just your thoughts on going back down to Columbus and what that was like for you and your family.
Oh, it was great. And as I mentioned on Cleveland Browns Daily, I had the opportunity to get down to Ohio Stadium to join Sarah Carnes and shoot.
Great job
inside the Cleveland,
inside the Cleveland Browns,
man.
By the way.
You know,
I missed you on Dog Pound Report. But you did well.
I'm expanding my horizons,
you
buddy.
Are.
Thank
atta,
you very
atta,
much.
Baby.
But went over to Eddie George. I thought my first opportunity to be in Eddie George's, what a great restaurant. I thought the food was great. The Browns fans turned out in force. You know, we, of course, had a great broadcast kicked off with Solomon Wilcots, who actually will be calling all the preseason games for the Cleveland Browns this preseason. And then my family and a family friend of ours, we collectively went over to the Woody Hayes facility. Got to walk through there. You know, my son got to see my picture all over the wall. My wife took, you know, many, many pictures. So it was just a great setting and makes me want to be back there a little bit more often. But of course there was work up here in Northeast Ohio covering our Cleveland Browns. But, walking in today, had opportunity to see Alex Shiner in the hallway, and I had to give him props because, you know, he's the Columbus was the brainchild of that man and growing there in a very football centric city. to showcase the Cleveland Browns with the new orange, the new unis, the new culture. And I thought it was great. Had opportunity to take my kids over to Dog Pound Drive. And at one point driving to go park at Ohio Stadium to walk the Dog Pound Drive to enjoy the setting there, it was just so surreal to be at Ohio Stadium but seeing brown and orange everywhere, like the takeover that we're used to having.
And speaking of that orange and brown scrimmage, I thought the big takeaway was the offense. As you look at Thad Lewis, Connor Shaw, and some members of the offense sporting the camouflage jerseys today due to a throwing competition that was held yesterday that hit the crossbar from 20 yards out. It took many, many people to get it done. And finally, Isaiah Crowell hit it for the
Did
offense.
He? Good.
They put it on Johnson Batamosi. Hit for the win, missed for the loss. Wasn't even close. Connor Shaw, Thad Lewis right now battling for the number three quarterback job on this team. Thad Lewis on the first official unofficial depth chart listed as that third quarterback. But when you talk about this scrimmage, Josh McCown, the first team offense, they come out, they have that impressive opening drive. He hits Gary Barnage for the 40-yard play and then shows his athleticism, rolling out to the right, finding Brian Hartline for a touchdown in his return to the shoe.
Yes.
That was a pretty nice moment, pretty nice start for this first team offense that I thought looked very good in the orange and brown.
Absolutely. I thought it was special. And when I looked at Josh McCown and watched him out here, I actually sat in the stands with my family. Is the greatest thing, it looked like a professional quarterback. You know, there was no hindrance. There was isn't rickety. It was leadership. It was command. It was the fact that he didn't look like a statue in the pocket, you know, and freeze there. He deviated out of the pocket to let him know, you know, we outran Paul Kruger, you know, to break, contain, and deliver a ball that only was catchable by Brian Hartline. And that's what I love seeing, because down in the red zone, turning the ball over is a detriment
Can't
to your
it.
Football team. You cannot do it. And so you come away with three at minimum. And, of course, they got the six to Brian Hartline in his return.
And they certainly did. And there's Josh McCown, the offense, going through their paces, their walk through, and then they'll progress into a 7-on-7 against the defense, and then they'll progress into the full team portion as the team is back in pads today after they were out of pads yesterday. Kind of just a very light day yesterday coming off the scrimmage. Now, you saw the handoff there from Josh McCown to Isaiah Crowell. He's listed as the starter on the first depth chart, but I'm sure you've seen and heard the comments from Wilbert Montgomery yesterday about these running backs, that nobody wants to come out and be the starter. And listen, when you've got Terrence West not practicing, you've got Duke Johnson not practicing, and Isaiah Crowell hasn't missed a practice, he, to me, is calling the crow out, saying you've had every opportunity now for over a week to show that you want to be the guy, and for whatever reason, he's saying that he hasn't seen it from Crow. I thought that was a strong statement, and I'm excited to see the kind of practice Crow has today, because you would think he's going to come out and bring it after Wilbert Montgomery basically put him on Front Street.
I believe he definitely will, and I think as we constantly talk about Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine adding competitors to this roster, those comments will be seen and heard by Isaiah Crowell, and they're not directly to his face, but he will find them indirectly, and it will motivate him. It will be the difference, and I think that today – not so much tomorrow, maybe tomorrow, but not Wednesday. But then Thursday, we want to see Isaiah Crowell run as he did to make this football team against the Chicago Bears a year ago in the final preseason game. And so he just really needs to press. And the one thing that I hope that Isaiah doesn't do, simply because he's taking so many reps, is take plays off. You know, he's getting a lot of reps. Yes, he is, because he's one of the only healthy backs. But you can't have him take plays off, because that is what Wilbert Montgomery is talking about. Seize that opportunity, push through, you know, that comfort zone, you know, to get to that level to where you can separate yourself from everyone else in that room.
Yeah, he's got every opportunity to do it. You've heard John DeFilippo say it, and you've heard Wilbert Montgomery yesterday say it. They want a bell cow. They want a starter. They said it should be like the other 31 teams
yes.
in the NFL. You know who their starting running back is going to be, and they want to have one here. Isaiah Crowell, I say, is still the leader for that job, but he's been called out, and he's going to have to respond and step up. Now, one position where it's still not clear exactly what's going to happen is wide receiver. And by the way, Dwayne Bowe, Terrell Pryor, still not practicing today at the wide receiver position. But again, solid day for the receiver. So our question comes to us from Kyle Camp. Who makes the final cuts at the wide receiver spot right now? Hashtag Browns Camp.
I'm still, even though Dwayne Bowe, you've given him $9 million guaranteed. He's going to make this football team. Brian Hartline, thus far, you know, throughout camp, there was maybe questions circling around him in the spring, but he has solidified who he
Fantastic.
Is as a player thus far through 10 days at camp.
Yes.
I think Taylor Gabriel and Andrew Hawkins, of course, are locks as well. And then if you look at Vince Maley, you know, drafted in the fourth round, he's a guy that you liked what he saw. I liked what I saw. There was the one drop, you know, or the potential catch in the orange and brown scrimmage. But what I loved is on the one run, his block about 15 yards downfield just helps solidify that run to gain yards. So he's reaching into, you know, his, you know, his toolbox and showing all these coaches, okay, so I'm not catching the ball and I'm not featured, but I can still be a player on the football field. So that leaves, you know, something we've talked about at every live look-in and we talk about almost every day on our show is that sixth wide receiver spot. Yeah. What are we going to do? And I think as of now, the guy that I'd put there is Travis Benjamin. He had a solid scrimmage. He's been solid down the red zone. He had the one drop that would have really, you know, catapulted him into as almost not as a lock at this point, but a shoe-in to make that sixth roster spot. So every day that Terrell Pryor's not out here, I believe his percentage drops about 5% of making this football team. He needs to grow. He needs to fine-tune. He needs to get these reps, and he's missing him. And I think Joker Phillips and Mike Pettine both know this.
I think they know you can't make the club in the tub. So I'm going to make a switch in my six. I'd had Marlon Moore in that sixth spot all along. I'm also going to go with Travis Benjamin at this point because he brings so much as a receiver, and I've been noticing them working in other guys as gunners on a lot of these kick teams to maybe give somebody a look to see if they can do it. Vince Maley has been working as a gunner, physical, fast. He's been getting
more
down the
field.
The more you can do, the better your chances is. Look at Travis Benjamin, who I think has had a very, very good camp. Clearly more confident physically in that ACL now that he's in his second year back from it. So I liked what I've seen so far from Travis Benjamin. I'm going to put him in as that sixth receiver. But to not talk about Josh Lenswood would do him a disservice for what he's done so far. Stand out at the scrimmage again. Three catches, including a touchdown. Number seven, undrafted free agent out of Iowa State. Certainly has practice squad eligibility, and I think he's a guy that's where he could end up. Has a nice chemistry with Johnny Manziel, as we've already seen.
He definitely does. And I think as you look at Lenz and the impact that he's made out here in Berea and the profound impact he made in that orange and brown scrimmage, says something about the kid. He deserves an opportunity. He's been fighting there in Indianapolis for a year and a half to make an NFL roster. And as you mentioned, practice squad eligibility, I think that's the perfect place for him.
Yep.
Because if you have an injury to Hawkins or an injury to Gabriel at any point, he's that same build. He's running those same type of routes, and you have him protected on your practice squad because he is a viable option in the routes that he runs and the plays that he's make under the bright lights as we saw in the scrimmage.
People don't realize what a good athlete he is. This guy runs a 4.3 40, 38-inch vertical, over 10 foot on the broad jump. So he is an explosive athlete despite his smaller stature. But he's been someone who's been a standout at camp, and he's kind of the guy that I think you got to keep an eye on. Darius Jennings as well, number 10. But I don't think those guys have a shot right now at the 53, but I do think they have a good shot to maybe make this practice squad and develop into somebody who can become an asset for the Browns down the road. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm with you here. Another live look-in at Browns training camp. Day 10 of Browns training camp here in Berea. You see everybody congregating behind us, getting ready to go through their drills there. It's also Military Appreciation Day as the Browns are honoring the servicemen and women of our great country out there. So as you see behind us, starting to get into some of the team action there. It's the offense taking on the defense. Looks like a red zone period here right behind us, or even goal line, as Connor Shaw is out there quarterbacking against the defense. And let's talk about a guy right behind me. We saw him walking over there. Number 48, Nate Orchard, got a sack in the orange and brown scrimmage when Danny Shelton collapsed the pocket. It was almost a glimpse into the future,
yes,
which
it was.
Is now the present of this team. But I thought, you know, the physicality that both he and Scott Solomon showed in the orange and brown scrimmage was good, and it's a definite change from when Barkevious Mingo's out there.
It definitely is, and I think that's why Jim O'Neill has given them the opportunity. They want to get as many opportunities to see these looks, see these guys, not only show their strengths, but show their weaknesses so that you can come back here to Berea, fix their weaknesses. And the thing that we continually hear about Nate Orchard, I mean, heavy hands, heavy hands, heavy hands. We heard that from Solomon. Mike Pettine said that in his post-game press conference as well. And you've got to love it. As a rookie, to be sought out by this club, and then you come in and do what you're supposed to do and live up to your billing of where you were drafted, I absolutely love it. And to me, it goes to show that Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer are getting it right. The culture is changing. They're hitting on these picks as of now. And without lofty goals, I think Orchard is a five, you know, to six sack guy in the National Football League as a rookie, because he will be given those opportunities with the absence of Barkevious Mingo to grow in his role.
Yeah, and I like him as a pass rusher. As you said, the heavy hands. We saw him in the last play working against big play Gary Barnidge, who continues to impress throughout training camp, had the big 40-yard grab in the scrimmage. But, yes, these are good reps for Nate Orchard. It's also nice to see number 90, Buckwild Billy Wynn, back out on the field. He should be hopefully back soon from his injury. It's an ankle injury, we're being told, and hopefully he can get back out there. He was off to a very nice start in his offseason, so obviously feeling better as he tries to harass Isaiah Crowell as he runs in for a hush down here in a very light portion of practice. practice. Let's talk about a guy, though, that is a marquee name on this football team, the 12th overall pick in the 2015 NFL Draft. And you see him out there right now in the middle of this defense, number 71, Danny Shelton. Very impressive so far. He's very much looked like your first-round pick, looked like an immediate impact player. What did you see from him in that orange and brown skirmish?
Well, how did you not see that big hit on the sideline?
Woo!
And what's so funny is when I watch the game of football offensively, I watch a receiver, I watch, of course, I don't just focus on the quarterback position, but I just so happened to be watching first-round pick, 12th overall, Danny Shelton, on the play where he wasn't rushing, and it was that quick throw out and just the pursuit. And as I mentioned when we had Ray Farmer on the show and Mike Pettin on the show, when I asked the question about Danny Shelton is, you watch that film at Washington playing the college game, you're getting the same exact player out here in the Cleveland Browns uniform. But I just love seeing – how do you not love seeing 340 pounds in the middle of the field just take off running? His buddy's got him wrapped up, and he comes and finishes him on the sideline to make a big play. And the appreciation he got from the crowd, you know, it did not go unnoticed.
Oh, it was great, and Marlon Moore certainly paid the price. I asked Justin Gilbert about it yesterday, which you can see in the Browns huddle right now, clevelandbrowns.com or the Browns mobile app. I interviewed Gilbert one-on-one and asked him about that play because Gilbert was the one holding on to Marlon Moore. I said, when did you see him coming? He said, not until the very last second, and I just tried to brace myself. He said, thank God I wasn't Marlon Moore. He said, there was a massive impact right there. He sprinted 30 yards in a scrimmage to take a guy out who was almost out of bounds anyway on a bubble screen and just lay the lumber.
You know, even more so, earlier in the scrimmage when they were going through their one-on-one phases, Danny Shelton consistently works against Pro Bowl center Alex Mack. And what I love about Danny Shelton is he's using a diverse skill set of moves going, you know, in, around, and through Alex Mack. But then when he reaches that quarterback level in that drill, he literally turns around and sprints back to, like, his grouping, you know, where the defensive linemen are standing. And it's basically symbolizing him getting to the passer and chasing the football.
He loves to do it. He doesn't stop. For next Twitter question that comes into us using the hashtag BrownsCamp, who do you think is the most improved player right now on the Cleveland Browns throughout the 2015 training camp?
Most improved? That's a very good question. I would have to go with, my guy Tank Carter. You know, he's a guy that essentially last year solely featured on special teams, not making a whole lot of plays on special teams as well, but has shown up time and time again, getting reps with the twos and the threes, playing a lot of reps.
For me, it's going to be my guy. You know, he's a favorite of mine. He's not out there today. He's got a little bit of a hamstring right now, so they're being cautious with him. But that's number 26, Pierre Desir, the fourth-round pick out of Lindenwood last season, has jumped just about everybody on this depth chart, pushing for playing time. Whenever Tremont Williams or Joe Hayden were getting a day off, it was Pierre Desir that was getting in there. And I think that he's got an opportunity to really play some significant minutes for this team. And it's one of the reasons why I think we're going to see a lot more of Justin Gilbert as a kick returner this year, which he commented on yesterday in the Browns huddle, saying you'll see him return kicks against Washington, which I think will be electric. Get the ball in his hands. Let him help however he can.
I think as, you know, 60, 70,000 people show up to First Energy Stadium, they feel like they're going to get a bang for their buck when it comes to first-round pick Justin Gilbert. They're not seeing him at corner, but it's going to be very exciting to see him back there because the little teaser we got in the Indianapolis Colts game when he returned that interception for a touchdown. So it's exciting, and you want to get anything you can out of that first-round pick.
And I was happy with what I saw from him. He made the nice pass breakup on the deep ball to Hartline in the corner of the end zone. Came up, and his hand was a little bit dinged. And what did he do? Did he come out? No, he stayed in the game, showing that toughness. And I liked that from Justin Gilbert. And talking to some of the players on the team about that particular kind of series for him, they were very pleased with the progress that Justin Gilbert showed. Obviously, tremendous natural gifts. Does he need to work on his technique? Sure. Who doesn't at the NFL level? But this is a guy that's got it all in him. He just needs to continue to develop, hone his craft, and be a professional. All right, Flemdog asks us right now, does Cam Irving start week one? Yesterday we saw him working with the first team with the first reps at right guard.
I'm gonna say no right out of the gates. And I know when camp opened we would have said yes, he's absolutely gonna blow away an outright win that right guard position from John Greco. But I think at this point right now, if you listen to Alex Mack and you listen to Mitchell Schwartz talk about the rapport that they have built with John Greco, they love him out there. And so for Cam Irving, I think he needs to continually set himself apart. And he's a guy, even as a first-round draft pick, that you're not going to take and taper back his reps when it comes to these preseason games. He is a guy that you throw out there that you get, you know, 20, 30, 40 reps in one of these preseason games, so you really know exactly what you're getting. You ask him to do more each and every week and grow. Therefore, his name can be in contention to start. As of right now, I think it's John Greco's job because of the role that he's played thus far through training camp.
I know that the coaches are very high on Cam Irving. He's going to get more first-team reps there at right guard. He's also going to get some reps starting at center, probably with the second team, according to head coach Mike Penn. Now, one guy we have not mentioned, which is pretty surprising given how good he has been of late and how good he was at the Orange and Brown scrimmage, completing 9 of his 11 passes for about 100 yards and 2 touchdowns, looking very comfortable in the pocket, is Johnny Manziel. I'm impressed with what I've seen the last 3 days. I don't want to get overly excited, but this is progress, and he's playing at a level we have not yet seen him play at in a Browns uniform.
You mean you're taking it? We took 20 minutes to talk about Johnny Manziel here?
We did. We should get kudos for that.
That's right. We held out as long as we could, and you're absolutely right. 2 days of practice going into that scrimmage were superior for Johnny Manziel. The way he stood in front of the media and handled himself about his progression, being very honest about how he's working, he just wants to be one of the guys. It was a workmanlike performance by Johnny Manziel. Wasn't necessarily perfect, but what I loved, and as you heard, if you were watching it on the NFL Network, Solomon Wilcots and Mike Mayock continually saying about Johnny Manziel, eyes down the field, eyes down the field. And that's exactly what you want to see from your second-year quarterback, you want to see from a rookie quarterback is. He's composed in the pocket. He doesn't panic. His first his first inclination is not to deviate out of the pocket to make a play with his legs. He stood in there, he trusted his offensive line, and he made the throws, which is why he had such a great performance.
Calm. He looks like he knows what he's doing. He's calm in the pocket. He's going through his progressions. He's making his reads. He's delivering the football accurately. I loved on the touchdown pass to E.J. Bibbs how he recognized the mismatch. Listen, we've talked about Nate Orchard, and we like him rushing the passer, but covering for Nate Orchard is going to be a new wrinkle in his game, and it's going to take some time. Johnny correctly identified he had Bibbs on Nate Orchard one-on-one on the outside and all, took his time, let Bibbs get open, hit him for the nice touchdown. He has made a lot of progress. Yesterday I had the opportunity to talk to offensive coordinator John DeFilippo about it. They said, you know, we've talked to him a lot about accountability, being a professional, and he's come in here with a completely different attitude. Calling plays in the huddle is now second nature. Knowing, setting his protections is now second nature. So he's putting the work off the field, and it's allowed him to have some success on the field. The question I have is, okay, I know we've got Connor Shawn Thad Lewis battling for the number 3 quarterback job. But we've got Johnny Manziel, who I believe needs as many reps as he can and as much action as he possibly can get to continue his development, because ultimately he's the heir apparent. Thad Lewis, Connor Shaw are not the ultimate heir apparents for this team. So does Johnny Manziel get more reps this preseason than, say, a normal backup quarterback? I wouldn't mind seeing Johnny Manziel come in and play the entire game against Washington. I wouldn't mind seeing him play basically every snap that's not taken by Josh McCown this whole preseason.
I agree with you, and because you want to see what you have in Johnny Manziel. You want to see that progression that he's making out here in Berea and that we saw in the Orange and Brown scrimmage in a game setting.
Yes.
Because, you know, we saw glimpses of what he can do last year in those, 7 quarters, but ultimately it didn't go very well. You want to see what you have. Browns fans want to see what you have, and I think for Johnny, if I'm him, and as I continue to talk about the competitor, I go to John DeFilippo and say, give me more, throw it at me, so on and so forth.
Yes, we definitely want to see more of Johnny Manziel here going forward. And I think it's a good thing. It's all he can do is get experience in game reps against other teams. That's what you need from him to continue to develop and hone his skills. And you have to see the relationship just briefly there with he and offensive coordinator John DeFilippo, as those two have been working very well. And I think it's a huge deal with the quarterback coaching that they're getting now. Because last year you had Dowell Loggins, and now you've got Kevin O'Connell, who's played in the league. You also have got, in addition to that, you've got John DeFilippo, who's a quarterback coach himself last year with the Oakland Raiders, working with Derek Carr, and who I think helped Derek Carr progress. So he knows how to work with those quarterbacks and develop them, and I think the coaching is paying off. As we're joined here on set by Tom Reed from Cleveland.com, Cleveland Plain Dealer. Tom, how are you doing today?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you here. Day 10 now of training camp for the Browns. What stood out to you about this particular camp here over the first 10 days?
To me, it has been how – it seems to be a little bit more physical than in past camps. They have these inside running drills that they didn't have last season. I just think that the camp is a little bit more physical than we've seen in the past couple of years. And I think that they're trying to get that mentality, especially, you know, coming off a year where they were last in the league against the rush. They want to be able to run the ball better. So that's the one of the things I've noticed.
What was some of the highlights from down in Columbus for the Orange and Brown scrimmage? What really stood out to you about the team?
Well, obviously, Johnny Manziel, how well I thought he played. I thought he played as well as I'd seen him play in any of his appearances last season, better than he played in Akron last year. He looked like a guy, the coach had mentioned his feet weren't antsy. He just, to me, what stood out to me was he trusted what he saw. And I, at times last year, I'm not sure if he did that.
Agree.
And he just trusted what he saw. Part of it could be, everything we've talked about off the field. But I think, coming from that spread offense, it takes a while. It takes a while to learn the pro game. And maybe, maybe things are starting to really register for him. He's put together three or four good days, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Yeah, hopefully it can continue. Now, you mentioned this team wants to be physical. They want to run the ball. Wilbert Montgomery with some strong words, I thought, yesterday for his running backs. And when you look at the fact that, Terrence West has been out, Duke Johnson was out, I think those were strong words for Isaiah Crowell, who's had every opportunity to come out here and say, I want to be the guy. What did you make of those comments, and where do you see this ground game going?
Well, again, I think he understands how important this ground game is to the team. As Johnny and Josh try to progress, this team offensively is really about this offensive line at this point and the running game. And they've had guys been out for the injuries. Isaiah is somebody that again, he could have really taken a real step forward with all these guys absent, and he hasn't been able to do that to this point, I don't think. Some of it, I do think, is just trying to just put a spur in the side of these guys. You remember last year, this training camp was so contentious at running back.
Yep,
we had Ben Tate going at Terrence West, and we thought that at the time it's better that the guys aren't bickering, but maybe they need a little bit, a little something to push them a little bit, and I think that's really what was behind what Wilbur was saying yesterday.
Do you believe that this defense, to focus on defense now, that there are enough playmakers in the front seven with Kruger, now Solomon, and Nate Orchard, the draft pick of this year, to put the pressure on the quarterback that allows our defensive backfield to be as good as they really can be?
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously the plan here. I thought what Pettin said about Nate Orchard has rung true. I really did not notice him a whole lot in the spring. I really didn't notice him the first couple of days in training camp, but I've noticed him more as things have gotten more physical. Obviously, he had the sack of Manziel. The other guy, again, we're not going to see maybe all the time Danny Shelton going back to the training. I was really impressed with Danny Shelton in his first appearance. And, we think of him, he's going to be a run stopper, but I thought he did a nice job kind of getting after the quarterback. His pressure kind of led to Nate Orchard's sack. And if they can get somebody that can push the pocket a little bit, that was only going to help those guys coming from the outside.
No, I think you're exactly right about that. And Shelton showing that he can be a three-down guy, collapsing the pocket in the middle, as you said, led to that sack. I think this defensive line is better equipped to rush the passer this year than it was a year ago. Shelton can collapse the pocket. We know Randy Starks is a good pass rusher as a defensive lineman. Desmond, it'll free Desmond Bryan up, because any time you're getting doubled, it leaves singles for the other guy. So I think this line, and Dylan Wynn continues to stand out. Number 97 had, maybe three sacks in the Orange and Brown scrimmage? So it's going to be interesting as you see Danny Shelton. And how valuable is this, Tom? Every day, Danny Shelton getting to go against one of the very best in the league in Alex Mack, and there slid over, and it was Joel Bitonio, also a pretty darn good player in his own right.
Absolutely. There's no question when you're talking about the line, and then we talk about the young wide receivers, a guy like Terrell Pryor trying to make the team, how invaluable it is to be going up against the Joe Haydens and that type of thing. That's what you got to take advantage of when you get chances like that. And I agree. I think it's a great learning tool for Danny Shelton and for a guy like Nate Orchard to come off the edge, and all of a sudden there's Joe Thomas right there. You're not going to get any better than that. So those are all positives.
Is there any concern for you that the injury bug that has hit the Cleveland Browns throughout training camp will hinder us from getting off to a fast start early in the season?
Well, I will say that the injury that would scare me the most right now, and luckily for these guys, they haven't had too many serious ones. But the Duke Johnson one's the ones that's troubling to me, because hamstrings it's an injury that keeps you off the field for a while, but it's one that we've seen it have come back at times and flare up a couple times during the season. Remember Miles Austin, he had a good career really going, and then for a couple years he just kept missing games because of that. So he's the one I'm worried about the most, because you don't want him missing time, and we know that they want to throw the ball to these guys out of the backfield. And it's nice to see Malcolm Johnson back today, because I've been really impressed with him in camp.
Yeah, kind of a Marcel Reese-like hybrid. You see Josh McCown coaching up Josh Lenz there after the most recent route that those two ran. Josh McCown, Okay, veteran, we know he's been a long journey around the National Football League, had the very high in Chicago over that five-game stretch. Rough year last year in Tampa Bay, but what have you seen from Josh McCown, and how comfortable are you with what you've seen as he is the starting quarterback of the Browns?
You know, I haven't seen anything that says that, you know, look, he's coming, he's a journeyman quarterback, so they're not going to ask him to come here and throw 40 times a game. Again, getting back to the running game, if they can run the ball effectively, they're going to ask him to do things similar to what Brian Hoyer did, make those 8 to 10 plays a game, and if he can do that, fine. I thought he looked really good the other day in the scrimmage, made a couple of nice passes to Gary Barnage, a nice touchdown strike. So far, pretty good. Also, I mean, he's a great teammate. You can tell that. And you do sense it's a little bit different kind of competition, but you do sense that Johnny Manziel enjoys being around him. And they seem to work very well together. So, you know, as Johnny kind of progresses, the two work very well together.
All right, so this one, we just got this in on Twitter. I'll open it up to all of us here. Can the Browns defense be the Seattle of the AFC, Matt? And I'll start with you.
Pretty darn close. I know Seattle has done it year after year, which is why they've solidified so many of their veterans via long-term contracts. I think a lot of the reason why you give a guy like Russell Wilson in that setting and a guy like Marshawn Lynch the money that you gave them, because they're the two pieces opposite that defense that makes Seattle so great, besides maybe the 12th man. Very close. Not necessarily right now, but I think that over the course of the football season, I think, you know, from week 8 to week 16, I would love to have that Seattle type, you know, style of defense in the AFC, because it means that we are fully in playoff contention.
We're going to get that matchup in the second half of the season in Seattle, Tom.
The potential is there. Again, we know. I would say that the secondary has become a kind of a proven commodity. They have to show they can stop the run, and in this division, you better be able to do it, because for my money, Le'Veon Bell may be the best all around running back in the league. Now I know he won't miss the games against the Browns, but he's going to miss a couple games. I like Forsett and what they were able to do in Baltimore. In Cincinnati, we saw Jeremy Hill last year. If they can stop the run, they're going to have a really good chance. But again, if they can do that, then you start to see that defense move way up on the list.
Absolutely. Well, it's words into actions, right? That's what Mike Penn says. I think the secondary is on par with Seattle's secondary. But what Seattle has is a physicality and ability to stop the run whenever they want, and then they have the pass rushers, the guys off the edge, Bruce Irvin. They've got a lot of guys who can come after the quarterback, and the Browns don't yet have that.
Right.
And until the Browns kind of have that physicality and the ability to get to the quarterback, they're not going to be a Seattle-style defense. The potential is there, but they're going to have to do it here over the course of this season. Nathan Zgura, Tom Reed, Matt Wilhelm with you here on Live Look-In from Browns Camp here in Berea. You can tweet us using the hashtag BrownsCamp, and we'll answer your questions live on this show. You look at the defense, the guy like Johnson Badamosi, because when you look at this team, Tom, I think this is the hardest 53 we've had to try to set in our minds in a while with the Browns, which is a good thing. How does a specialist, a guy like Johnson Badamosi, who's so good at what he does, figure into this team in your mind?
Well, we've talked about that, whether a guy like Johnson's in trouble. I just think he's so valuable in what he does on special teams. And when you talk about defense, you want to set your defense up as well as you possibly can. I think he and Marlon Moore did such a good job last year on the punt, especially on the punt unit. And, you know, they didn't give up very many returns. And it gives your defense is working on a longer field. He's just so good at that. I just have a hard time seeing him not making the team.
Do you think Johnson and Marlon Moore can both make it as pretty much specialists, or do you think it'll be one or the other?
Ooh, that's a great question, because obviously you have Terrell Pryor. You think if he gets healthy again, he's going to take a spot. That's a great question. I just think that Johnson's is one. I would have to think. People always say with the special teams guys, especially the gunners, well, anyone can do that. But it's a mentality. It is a mentality. It's the way Tabor talked about last year, about when there's a car crash in NASCAR, and are you going to be willing to drive through that smoke? And he's one of those guys that can do that. And when you don't have those guys, it becomes a problem. We've seen with some other special teams parts of this team, when you don't have that guy, it can be a real issue, and we know what happened last year with the kicking game and where it went.
Especially when you bring in Andy Lee, you need those gunners, because he's going to boom that ball.
You definitely do, and guys, as we discuss, you know, building up this roster, doesn't it make the strategic move to put who we put on practice squad, you know, is really vital to this football team, because they will essentially be up and down throughout this roster if, in fact, you do keep a couple specialists. That means you're thinner. That's one less offensive lineman or very talented offensive lineman, one less talented defensive lineman, one less corner, because you're keeping these guys that are solely going to play specialist positions. So that practice squad is really vital, because then those guys come up into active roles for this football team, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I think you can see that at inside linebacker with Hayes Pillard. You can see that at DB with a Robert Nelson or Charles Gaines if they decide to go that route with them. So, yeah, I think you're right. Wide receiver, Lenz, offensive lineman. They've got plenty of options there. And I think the practice squad will be very interesting to see how it all shakes out. Who are some guys that have stood out to you that kind of came out of nowhere, kind of your all-camp team in terms of guys that were a little unheralded, but now you think have put themselves in a position where Ray Farmer's going to think twice before he puts them either on the practice squad or sends them packing?
The guy that I've liked almost from the beginning of camp, and certainly as camp has progressed, is E.J. Bibbs.
Yep.
He's the guy that, to me, has been a concern for me with this group coming in. And, you know, we talked to Max Williams when they had the rookie symposium here, and he just unsolicitedly mentioned, he's like, this is a good tight end. The Browns did a good job getting this guy in. And I've seen it. Now, he doesn't have that classic. He's got a kind of a tweener body, it seems like.
Yeah.
He's not like the angular type of Jordan Cameron, Rob Housler type. Kind of like in between, but I liked him. Guys, you know, Malcolm Johnson doesn't really fall in that category. I think he's going to make the team, but I've been impressed with him as well.
When you look at the tight end room, can we carry four? You know, with Bibbs, Barnage, Dre, and Housler all making this football team?
But maybe he's one of those guys you're talking about, practice squad guy.
Okay.
That maybe he's a practice squad guy. I've just liked him. You know, you're going to have injuries through the course of the season. It's to me, it's a position that they need to upgrade anyway. I could maybe see using him as a practice squad guy.
I could see that, too. I want to see, as you look at big play Gary Barnage, all he does is make plays out there. I like Rob Housler, the athlete. I want to like Rob Housler, the football player, a little bit more. I don't know that I've seen from him. You know, the hands have at times been suspect. You know he's not going to give you much as a blocker, but that's okay as long as he's out there catching the football, stressing a defense down the seam. I don't think he's in any jeopardy. I don't think they brought him in here so that they could then cut him. But E.J. Bibbs certainly has got to be making them at least think about what they're doing in that tight end room.
Yes, and Bibbs is a guy that's going to get a significant amount of playing time in these preseason games. Housler's going to be – he's already going to be used strategically offensively. So the role that he's going to play in these preseason games to give these coaches an opportunity to evaluate how good he really is and what role he plays in this offense will be limited. But then you're going to get Bibbs is going to play 40-plus reps in probably all four of these preseason games, maybe minus the third, where the starters will get significant reps. So he's a guy that if seeks out this opportunity can definitely play his way onto this football roster.
Speaking of E.J., Bibbs will be our guest live on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, today on ESPN Cleveland from 1 to 3, and, of course, on the Browns mobile app and clevelandbrowns.com. Earlier we were talking about Johnny Manziel, and I know that Connor Shaw and Thad Lewis are battling for that third quarterback job here. But when you have a guy like Johnny, there's no substitute for game reps. I want to see him play more in the preseason than, say, your normal backup quarterback would play. How do you think that's going to shake out, Tom?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you first year in the offense, new offense, I want to see as much as I can of him. Hopefully, you know, into the second half's of time, and obviously the third game, you assume Josh will play into the second half. But I want to see as much of Manziel as possible. I think it's only going to help him. And I think it's going to help him going up to Buffalo against that defense, scrimmaging those guys for a couple of days. I think that this is only going to help him. And I'm sure he wants to – he's probably at this point right now, he just can't wait to get back out there again because his confidence is probably really peaking.
And how comfortable he is. That's
great.
What I absolutely love. He's enjoying the game of football instead of just doing it simply because he's supposed to do it. He's out there. He's one of the guys. And Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer have both said it. And what's great about this franchise is they've kind of built this nest around Johnny to protect him. When he sought out help, the Browns did their part by creating a safe environment for him to focus on football out of treatment.
And it's been great. We've seen the real progress, and we hope to see it continue. As we look ahead to the first preseason game, it's exciting to know that there will be some football played. Tom, what are you hoping to see the Browns accomplish against the Redskins? What is it that you're looking for in that game?
Similar to what we saw even in the scrimmage the other day, the takeaway that you came out of that scrimmage was the offense moved the ball. same thing. I want to see the offense moving the ball. I want to see either getting field goals, touchdowns. You know, remember last preseason. Oh, my goodness. You know, coming into this, you know, it took forever for the first-string offense to score.
Right.
And, you know, there was so much concern. Now, again, the Browns' first five games, they did a pretty nice job of scoring. But you want to see that offense moving the ball. You know that the defense is going to come around. I want to see these guys moving the ball. I want to see McCown, you know, hitting his receivers. And I do want to see this running game start to pick up. Last year, if you guys remember, they rarely ran the ball in training camp because there was so much, you know, the quarterback competition. We weren't sure who was going to, so they threw the ball a ton. I want to see this running game get going early in training camp.
I do, too. I want to see them go in there and run the football. And
right.
I want to see Isaiah Crowell get some opportunities and make the most of them running hard. I think we saw them throw the football pretty effectively in that Orange-Brown scrimmage. Still, again, not a lot of running. No. I want to see them start to establish that identity.
I do as well, and I think you heard that in Mike Pettine's comments after the Orange-Brown scrimmage about physicality, and that starts up front. You know, our ability to push the defense back and make those lanes for the runners, and our ability defensively to negate those gaps and stop the run, and that is something that we're going to be built on. And I want to see that because that is what I truly believe we're going to see. That's the template that we're going to have to win by in the National Football League.
Absolutely. No question about it. The Browns' first preseason game live on News Channel 5. That'll be this Thursday against Washington Redskins live at First Energy Stadium. So that certainly will be something to look forward to in that one. Defensively, Tom, what do you want to see in that game as well? And is it the progress of a guy like Justin Gilbert, who, if you remember, played very well against the Redskins last year on that Monday night game, and that was kind of his peak, and hopefully we're going to continue to build and ascend with number 21.
That, yeah, you certainly want to see him continue to improve. You know, if Pierre Desir can get back, which is probably doubtful at this point. But the other thing, the other big thing to me is continuing to see if they can pressure the quarterback, you know, getting, you know, Nate Orchard getting going, a guy like Paul Kruger getting the quarterback,
sure.
Talking about starting to begin that momentum to kind of become a more complete defense. And then obviously the big thing is stopping the run.
Got to stop the run.
Absolutely. The one thing I want to see is, of course, our ability to run the football. As I said, that's the template that we're going to have to play and win by. But I do want to see these pass rushers. I want to see this front seven dominate because we know what we have on the back end. You know, we've got three Pro Bowlers and a guy that's most likely going to get re-upped here very soon to be a Cleveland Brown for the next 4 years.
I want to thank everybody for joining us here for this live looking on ClevelandBrowns.com and, of course, the Browns mobile app. Stay tuned for Cleveland Browns Daily driven by Liberty Ford at 1 o'clock. Also, want to thank all of our servicemen and women who are here today, Military Appreciation Day, out in Berea Browns Camp, day number 10, going on right behind us, and we want to thank all of them for their service for our country. For Tom Reed and Matt Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for joining us here on ClevelandBrowns.com and the Browns mobile app for our live looking, our last one of training camp. Thanks for being with us and have a great day, everybody.